Now we come to take a reading from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 1, this morning, reading verses 18 to 25, the account of the birth of Jesus Christ. Matthew 1, verse 18, this is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet: "The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did as the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. Now, for a few moments this morning, on this Christmas morning, let's draw attention to verse 21. She gave birth to a son. She will give birth to a son. You're to give him the name Jesus, because he will take or will save his people from their sins. And this verse is a wonderful verse because it tells us of the wonderful person who came into the world. And it also tells us the wonderful work that he accomplished. And when you look at the big theologians, the big books, this is how they basically describe the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. They describe his person, his attributes, his character, his origin, and also his work, the person and work of Christ. And this verse touches upon this morning. And what we notice, it's something very, very wonderful. Now, Christmas is a wonderful time. Interestingly enough, you may be have heard already that song. It's played over many, many times, and it's been sort of sung by numerous different artists. It's the most wonderful time of the year. Goes back to a man called Andy Williams, back in 1963, who first recorded it, but it's been recorded by many ever since. It's the most wonderful time of the year. Well, we know, in one sense, this year, there's been restrictions, hasn't there? That's the word we've been used to using. There have been restrictions. And so it may not be as wonderful, perhaps, in the sense of all the things that we would normally do. But it's still a wonderful time of the year. And this verse is pointing to that wonderful truth. Now, you may have some wonderful memories of times past. We've heard mention of boys and girls who are perhaps getting perfume. I'm sure every boy, every man here can remember that first aftershave that they were bought. You know, the one, used to spray it on, that old boxer way back when. Well, whatever it was, you remember it. You remember not only the name of it, but you remember the scent of it. And it may be that you haven't used it for many, many a long time, but if you were ever to smell it again, that would bring back the memories. The same now as we'd be going home and smelling the turkey or the mince pies or the bread sauce or the clementines. There's the smells of Christmas. There's also, as well, the sights of Christmas, isn't it? We've noticed this, the wonderful ways in which people have sought to bring a little bit of joy and happiness into life. Even when we've been going and doing our Christmas shopping, fair play to those cashiers and all the people in the back that they've dressed up and sort of brought a bit of happiness to us. And so the sights of Christmas also. The souvenirs as well. We've mentioned some things that have been bought. One of the funniest little sort of gifts I had was in a cracker, a small little comb. Small little comb. And the joke in the comb as well, with the comb, was interesting. What do you give a bald-headed man for Christmas? And what does he say about it afterwards, see? Well, it was very appropriate, as it just happened to be me. And basically, the bald-headed man would say, looking at the comb, he'd say, "I'll never part with it." And that was one of the best Christmas jokes I ever had out of a Christmas cracker. "I'll never part with it." And I haven't. Well, of course, the first gift, perhaps, that a boy gave to a girl or a girl gave to a boy. The school made decorations. I could tell stories there that when I was in the primary school, perhaps it was only the black and the brown crayons that were left. And so we had this circle painted black, coloured in black with a crayon, and then colour over it, in colour it over again in brown. And then we had to, with our nails, make a little mark. And it turned out to be a Christmas pudding. See, very, very clever way in which a teacher could use a little bit of cardboard and the brown and the black crayons that normally end up in the bottom and going out in the bin. Well, and there we are, you bring it home and maybe it's still there. You bring it out, you put some things on the tree that has been made as well. And the photographs of happy families as well. These are all part of the wonderful memories, the souvenirs of Christmas, the sights of Christmas, the smells of Christmas. But here we now come to the Saviour of Christmas, and we look at his work, and we look firstly at his person. Now let's remind ourselves very quickly at what happened. First of all, the Lord Jesus, he was wonderfully promised. We mentioned some of the verses here in the reading from Isaiah. In the Old Testament, well before his birth came, it was foretold that a Saviour, a Deliverer would come, spanning centuries, and that a child would be born and a son would be given. And this really was the divine ultrasound scan, months and years and centuries before he ever came. Wonderfully promised in the Old Testament. And then he was born, secondly, he was born wonderfully. Not now in a palace, where perhaps you'd expect a prince or a king to be born, but born in an ordinary stable. And immediately you see something of his ordinariness. He's so special, so wonderful, unique person, and yet he's born amongst us. Not only the one who made the world and contained it, but no place was found for him. And again, with all the activities of this Christmas, though they've been restricted, so few people have had time and room for the Lord Jesus. But he was born wonderfully. Also as well, then, he was visited wonderfully. We saw it in the description with the boys and girls in the video this morning, the DVD. Shepherds come down from the hills from the word of an angel. And wise men are directed firstly by a star and then in coming to Jerusalem by the scriptures themselves from that prophecy in Micah. And they bring gifts which show their gladness at his birth. So he's prophesied, promised wonderfully. He's born wonderfully. He's visited wonderfully. And also as well, when he was 40 days old, he was received wonderfully in the temple in Jerusalem. His parents took him up to present him in the temple, as was the custom in those days. And we read he was received wonderfully by two elderly people. One named Simeon and another, a lady called Anna. She told everyone about him. And Simeon was so pleased, he took him up in his arms and knew that this was the promised deliverer. And so whether it's the busy shepherds, whether it's the wise men, as we call them, or whether it's the elderly, all in that day rejoiced at the birth of the Saviour. He was received wonderfully. And also as well, he was protected wonderfully because it wasn't everybody who was pleased that he had come. This great news of his coming was not received with gladness in the very palace in Jerusalem. Herod sent soldiers to seek to find this child as the wise men didn't return. And we know that Joseph was warned by an angel to go straight away from Bethlehem and to flee and to take the child and his mother into safety. And we know they went into Egypt. It's Matthew's gospel tells us that. So he was protected wonderfully as well. And then he grew up wonderfully. We've just got that one account when he was 12 years of age. We're told he's there at the feast with his mum and dad. And then they're all preparing to go home. And Jesus remains behind. And what is he doing? Well, he's in the temple. He's listening carefully. And then he's asking questions about what is being said. And there are those around him who are amazed at the insight and the depth of the ability of him to be able to grasp what they're talking about. And as well that phrase, when he told his mother Mary, I must be about my father's business. He grew up wonderfully in obedience with his mum and dad, but also then through his teenage years into coming then to full adulthood. And then he began his ministry and he preached wonderfully. How do we know? Well, these are the phrases that come out in the gospel. There were lots of different preachers. There were lots of different people. There were some just going around, you see, looking for a bit of money. They'd tell you anything if you'd cross their palm with a bit of cash. But they were saying no one ever spoke like this man. And they said, spoke about the wonder that the wonderful, gracious words that came out of his mouth. And he preached about a kingdom that's to come. He preached practically about illustrations such as a sower. Everybody knew what a sower's job was and how he would plant seed and then sometimes you'd get disappointed and then sometimes you'd have a full crop. And people understood this. He talked to them about the birds of the air, how they don't toil or spin and yet the Lord provides, the Lord God provides for them. And he preached in a very homely way and an easy way for people to understand. And yet it was very clear as to what he was saying. People needed to turn to God and to trust in him and to look to him for salvation. He not only preached wonderfully, he healed wonderfully as well. The Gospels are so full of these wonderful accounts, whether it would be a physical disease, somebody perhaps blind or deaf, whether it would be more of a psychological disease, we think of that man. No one could contain him. He was living in amongst the tombs and how the Lord Jesus then spoke to him. And we find that man eventually sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. And so he healed wonderfully and he prayed wonderfully also. He spoke to God in very close, familiar terms. He spoke in his prayers they were strong, they were full of boldness. And he taught his disciples how to pray. And he said, when you pray, say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, practical needs, and forgive us our trespasses, the spiritual needs. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. And that prayer has become a standard prayer. Now, we just don't say the words and think we've run through it, and so we've prayed. But they're guides to us as to what sort of things we should pray for. And so he prayed wonderfully. And then we notice, as well, the scriptures tell us, he died wonderfully. Although he'd never done any wrong, he died on a cross. He was very brave and even prayed for those who had hurt him and were murdering him. He died wonderfully. And the cries from the cross, 7 of them in the scriptures, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. It is finished. Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. Sense of confidence. And then, you see, the Christmas story is the beginning of the story. Yes, there is the death of the Saviour, but as well, he arose wonderfully. Mary and others went to the grave of Jesus, expecting to see his dead body, but he was not there. He was alive, and everyone was amazed. And in the context of the year that we've had with so many families, over 4,000, we're told now, in Wales alone, who've known great tragedy as a result of this virus, to think that this is the hope that we have, that if we are trusting and loving the Lord Jesus in our life, when we come to die, well then we are safe in his presence and we await a resurrection. Our spirits, our souls go immediately into the presence of God and at that appropriate moment of the Lord Jesus' second coming, our bodies will be miraculously, wonderfully raised and we will be united body and soul again and live forever in eternity. He left earth also wonderfully. After 40 days of talking with his disciples, he ascended into heaven, into the very presence of his Father, and sat at his right hand. And there he remains until he comes again, which is that wonderful return. He will return wonderfully as well. Bible tells us that Jesus will come back. So when we speak of the Advent season, we're not only talking about his first coming, We are looking back on history with regards to that. But as believers this morning, although the world is in turmoil, and although perhaps we feel we can't trust and depend upon the leaders of the day, and the days are uncertain, we know that the Savior is going to come. He's coming for his people. He's coming for them. So that's the person of the Lord Jesus. And we've looked, it's little pictures, isn't it? In a sort of photograph album. There it is, his whole life mapped out before us. But secondly and quickly now, I want to remind you of what Jesus did for us. Some say, let's speak of Jesus' life as the cradle and the cross and the crown. Well, let's think about what he did for us. What did he do? Well, first of all, he became a human being. He felt all the emotions and the experiences we know. He knew tears, he knew hunger, he knew tiredness. Yet he lived a life without sinning, in word, thought, and deed. Now that's something wonderful. No man has ever lived like this man. But he became a human being. He was the eternal Son of God for eternity past. But he came. He gladly came, he willingly came. The Father sent him, but the Lord Jesus came into the world. Not only did he come, but he didn't come just to walk amongst us to get some idea and to write some sort of theses about us when he returned to heaven, like a sort of a visit. It was much more than that. He came with purpose. He came to take away our sins. And this is what this verse is telling us. We have it summed up here. She will give birth to a son. You're to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. By his life and by his death, he is able to forgive those who have sinned against his Father. And we need forgiveness. And whatever gifts perhaps you have asked for this year and that you might receive, the gift you most need is forgiveness. Forgiveness from one another, but as well, forgiveness from God. You see, the Lord Jesus did no wrong. Yet he did die upon the cross to take the punishment for the wrong things that we have done. He died instead of us. He died in the place of us to save us from the miserable eternity that awaits those who do not trust him. Now that's something wonderful. That's something wonderful to know that our sins can be forgiven. Another thing, you see, it's wonderful to think that he gave us, not only took our sins away, but he gave us his goodness. He gave us the perfect life that he lived. He lived a clean, pure, perfect life by his right living. And that now is accredited, that is reckoned, that is accounted ours. Now that's something wonderful as well. So when we were to stand in the presence of God, we would be seen clothed in the perfect beauty of the Lord Jesus. Not our sinful ways. And also, something else that's wonderful about what he did. He made us right with God. He took our sins away and supplied the goodness that we didn't have. And we can now know God, not as the judge, which he is, but we can know him as our Father. And then one more thing that's wonderful about what he did, the work of the Lord Jesus. He brought us. Imagine this now, especially if you today are spending Christmas on your own. If you're living on your own and you're going to have a little bit of Christmas dinner on your own and you know the plans were for people to come and to visit. Yes, you've had the phone calls, but you haven't had that sort of physical visit and you haven't had that cutch, as we say here in Wales, the hug. You haven't had any of that. Well, I want to say this. This Christmas message that I'm sharing with you this morning, what's wonderful about it is that he brought us into the family of God. And we can know his love and care each day, not only this Christmas day. We will never be alone again. God is our Father. And we now have brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ. And this again is something very, very wonderful. You see, no one needs to be outside of this family. At this Christmas time, you can come to him. How do we come to him? Well, we thank him for his coming into the world. We say sorry for the things that we have done and the way that we have removed him and given him no room up to this present point. And then we receive him as Simeon picked the babe up in the arm. We receive him into our hearts and believe that Jesus died for us and rose again for us. But we must make it our own. We must make it our own. Now, I close with a little anecdote about a grandmother who was sending Christmas cards to her grandchildren. She'd written the cards, and she intended to include in them the checks. And so, of course, she got the addresses ready, and she got the stamps ready, and before she knew it, it had all been done, and they were posted. And then she realized that she'd not included the checks in the envelopes, in the card. So imagine now the grandchildren, a couple of days before Christmas, receiving the card, recognizing their grandmother's writing on the front, opening the card, opening the envelope, there's the card, and inside it read this, "Happy Christmas from Nan. Buy your own presents this year." Happy Christmas from Nan. Buy your own presents this year. Now, of course, they thought, she doesn't love us. What is she sort of saying? You know, you've had too much. Start looking after yourself. That's how they go. But of course, what had not been included was the check. And if they'd seen the check, then to see the check, and then she's saying, now buy your own presents, buy what you want this year. You're old enough to decide. Now, can you see? You can have a Christmas, and you can have a card, but if you haven't got the all-important check, in one sense, if you haven't got the all-important piece of paper, in that sense, if you haven't got what's important, you can't do anything with it. And some people think God doesn't love us. He doesn't care for me. He doesn't care how my life has been. He doesn't love me. The Lord Jesus came into the world in his person and in his work to accomplish a great salvation. Make sure that you have hold of the promise of salvation in your heart. May God bless this word to our hearts this morning, and may you know the rest of the day, a blessed day of God's presence with you.